Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Last night in Milwaukee, did we expect you to win? No. You're down in the series. We expected you to lose. You're down 3-1. You're out there in Milwaukee. But we expected you to show up at least for part of the first half, and then maybe you give in the second half. That was embarrassing. Embarrassing by Kyrie Irving. Played no defense in the series. He was frustrated because they were playing great defense on him. But what did he provide this team last night? Nothing.
He was awful.
Awful.
I mean, he was awful. The shots, air balls. I mean, it was pathetic, especially early on in that game. It was like, you're going to let anybody else play. You know, I think Chris Webber said at one point, he's like, I've been on teams like this where, like, you know, it's pass and shoot. And it gets to the point where you don't want to pass because you know you're never getting the ball back.
Yeah.
Right? And that's... that's what it looked like. It looked like just offensively, it just came to a head, right? This team was just like, you know what? I don't even care anymore. You want to chuck up 30 tonight because you're a god and you're a genius and you're a great shooter, Kyrie? Go ahead.
Yeah, but I would even say if they were even halfway decent, they could have made that a game because it's not like the Bucks were playing
they
at
weren't.
A high level
they,
either.
But they knew they didn't have to.
Yeah, so they I think they recognized that the Celtics were cooked just as much as the Celtics realized it. So, like, what are we doing this for? Why are we even trying? I don't know how many... just random turn around fadeaway shots that Kyrie Irving had that weren't even close. It was like it was just almost like if it was a just some random pickup game and everyone was just trying to just force the issue every single time.
Well, when things aren't going well with your shooting game, what do? You pass
you
the
keep
ball.
Shooting.
He had one assist last night.
Can we just say
one
that this was
assist?
One assist.
I don't think he had one in the first half. Did he? Was it? I don't know. Was it the first quarter or first half?
And he took 3 second half shots. Is that right? Three
Correct.
Shots in the second half?
Three.
Yeah. Good.
Here's the thing. No one should be surprised. This was unbelievably predictable. You knew it was going to happen. What we all thought...
You didn't think there would be a little bit of life in the first half?
You think there would be a little bit of fight in the beginning?
They didn't
a little
that.
Bit.
Gave you none of it.
But none of it. Turnovers, missed shots. Okay, the Bucks go up. And you're like, all right, it's not like they're running away with it. They were shaking just as much.
Yeah, and look at this. At half, 5 for 16, 13 points, 0 assists.
They get one in the second.
0 assists. And we talked about, like, in game 4 that, you know, they didn't shoot the ball well. I think he ended up with 10, 11 assists. He very easily could have had 18, even 20, right? Driving the hoop, finding open guys. They didn't hit their shots. This game was get me the hell out of here. It was the easiest bet in history.
He didn't want to play last
Milwaukee
night.
Milwaukee -9, 9.5.
1, 2, 3,
who didn't think this was going to be a blowout? They had no chance. They don't like each other. They all want it to end. You listen to that in the post game last night, and personally, I felt like Marcus Morris was the only one that I heard that seemed upset that he's not playing basketball anymore this year.
I think he likes.
Just want to leave.
I think he liked.
Yeah,
it
but
here.
He's a free agent too, so he's got so much more to gain.
But he could have been like, you know what, this wasn't even worth it. I'm out of here. But instead, he actually sounded it bothered him.
I felt as though the old Boston would be better. You know, they stayed with us through this tough year, and I just felt like we owed them to be better. Me personally, you know, I prepared like no other last year to have a good season to help my team, and for us to not be able to make that step, you know, I think that's what hurts the most.
So the only issue I have with all of this is you can scream and yell. And people already are. I've seen numerous polls where 70%+ of the people here in Boston want Kyrie out of here, pack his bags, get his ass out of here. He did. He was asked last night about it. He said he's coming back to Boston to be with his family and stuff like that. Obviously, he didn't understand the question.
Gotta get home safely. He's got to get home safely.
Right, safely, right. And he didn't want to answer it. But I throw out the question, what the hell do you do now? Danny Ainge has spent the last few years putting the team in a position to get themselves a 2 or 3 superstar players. And now, if this guy leaves, you're not getting another superstar player. The one guy that he already got that he's paying maximum contract money for in Gordon Hayward, who the hell knows what you've got with him? And then you can look at the young kids, but now you look at Jason Tatum and how he's played here in the postseason, and you say, what the hell's wrong with that kid right now? So what the hell do you do? You could sit here, you can be pissed off and say, Kyrie, get out of town. Danny, throw him out of town. But are you going to watch this team if they're fighting to make the 6th, 7th, and 8th seed in the postseason?
This is the problem that Danny Ainge has. You know, when he looks at it, he knows. If I lose Kyrie, then I got to go back to the drawing board here, and I got to try to rebuild this thing. Because if Kyrie's gone, there's no Anthony Davis, right? So if Kyrie walks, now what do I do? You know, where do I go from here? But the problem is that, so, you know, because I'm a basketball guy.
Yes,
you are.
Because you watch the games.
Yeah, and I talk to people.
Yeah.
So I have sources who feel that Kyrie Irving was a guy that a lot of these people walk around and trying to figure out all year long. I'm talking about people within the organization. Mood swings, didn't, you know, trying to figure out what the issue is. And I was told that last year, that team going to Eastern Conference Finals was extremely damaging to Kyrie's ego. Okay, he didn't like them succeeding without him because he didn't think that they could, that he wanted to be the guy. And to see this team succeed without him was a huge blow to his ego, to the point where couldn't stomach the sight of possibly seeing them win in Game 7 against LeBron and
go to
the finals.
So he made up an excuse so he wouldn't have to be there.
So he got his nose done. His
nose was falling off.
What a random time, too, to do it.
And because of that, it was so damaging to him that you saw this Kyrie this year.
Wasn't that a Sunday game? Get your nose done on a Sunday?
No, it was weird, though. I believe it. Because he's so mental that way. That, of course, he couldn't, you know, internally, he's so insecure, he couldn't handle it. What is he going to do? So if they go, and then he comes back, and they don't get there, what's it going to say about him? There's a danger zone attached to that,
and see,
that he probably didn't want to admit to.
To speak to the dilemma, though, there are some in this organization that are done with him, that don't think he's a Celtic, that don't want anything to do with him, that don't like him. But, ultimately, the situation Danny Ainge is in, he's sitting there saying, What do I do?
See, I saw a lot of things online.
Do I just, like, you know, cover my nose here and just sort of sign this guy and try to win it with Anthony Davis? If that's the case, I got to get rid of these kids, and I will if I'm moving Anthony Davis, and I got to try to see, okay, will he mesh better with another alpha dog? You know, if he's the 2, 1A, 1B, whatever you want, with Anthony Davis. Maybe Gordon Hayward is here. Maybe he, you know, wakes up because the kids that are the issue, Rozier is gone. You know, Jalen would probably be gone with Tatum in that deal. I don't know. So can things change? Because I think that really this year it sounds like a lot of people
here's the thing.
Down on Kyrie and how the whole thing went down.
David Price figured it out somewhat. He won.
Kyrie had won this series.
You would have put up with his confusing post-game conferences, his inconsistency. You would have been fine with it.
Do you remember after the Indiana series, people were praising him, calling us up. Nobody was knocking him. After game one in the Milwaukee series, was anybody... We went on the air and asked people, all you people that wanted to get rid of Kyrie, how you feel now? Nobody wanted to get rid of him.
Even after the game two loss... It was, I'm never going to shoot, 8 for 22? Then he ended up shooting like 7 for 22 or something like that. Yeah. It was worse. It just got worse and worse. And even then, he was just so arrogant and defiant and just, who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
It was almost like a little kid. It's almost like a little kid who just is like, can't get his way and everybody's being too hard on him and it's too tough and it's woe is me. Who cares?
Here's
what
the
do you
difference.
Mean? So what?
I'll give you the difference between him and Price. Price ended up winning. And winning in the postseason and leading this team onto a World Series championship, and now he holds the cards. Kyrie Irving was awful, terrible, sucked. They lost in an embarrassing fashion, and he also holds the cards.
There's 52 cards.
Glenn, so one's a loser, the other one's a winner, and they're both holding the cards.
How long did it take David Price? 3 years? It took him 3 years to get to that. So you really have only had Kyrie for two. I can tell you that the narrative will change so fast and so quickly if they end up going to the finals and winning. Even if they get to the finals and say they lose in some crazy fashion, that's the only thing he needs to do. So you'll put up with all this stuff.
But based on what Lou's saying internally within the organization, and that would not surprise me because he's exasperating to most people. I can only imagine they're dealing with it on a daily basis. But if that's the case, they have to make a decision. He has to make a decision by July 1st. He holds all the cards. He right now has taken the organization hostage.
Hold on.
When you start talking about playoff performances, though, quick, like, don't you think that Kyrie's playoff time in Boston, which is pretty much this year, is worse than Price's time going into last offseason?
No, but I go to his last
the difference his first is the two history
playoff
they've had.
His first two playoff appearances, Price's, he didn't have a win, did he?
No, here's the thing. So
I mean,
he's saying.
Pretty much
so
sucked.
Price came here with more history, right? Kyrie came here with one of the best records, individual records in the postseason.
Yeah,
he won a championship.
Yep.
So he was successful. Price wasn't. So Price came here his first year and threw one bad game against the Indians and he went home. And they continued. Came back the next year and he was in the bullpen where he was actually pretty good.
Where's everybody at?
Right? And then this year. So this guy comes in here, they win game one, but the way the last four games goes, I would say as a member of Boston, he's been much worse in the postseason than Price has been.
To me, that's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. The point is that the winning solves all the issues. It fixes everything. So if you hate him, if you want to kick him out of town, he's not a Celtics and he's not a team player, you don't care because all you want, you're greedy. You're used to winning. So if this guy can help you win, even though he's kind of dinkish and you can't understand him and he's so random and condescending at times, you'll take it if next year, 2020, if they're in the same situation and they start cruising through the playoffs.
Here's what pissed me off last night. There's one thing about, are you disappointed? And he's saying, no, he's not disappointed. I don't know how you cannot be disappointed and based on what the expectations were of the team. Second of all, he talks about, I'm looking forward to watching Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. Shut up. That is just stupid to say. You're saying it to a Boston Celtic fan base, and you're sitting there saying, maybe you give them props. You say, hey, they played great defense against me. I got to give them props. They did a great job against me during the series. Whatever, I'll get them back next year. But it was even worse. When somebody was asking them about coming back to Boston, they were obviously asking it as a professional business question, and he's talking about being just a normal human being.
Adam Himmelsbach with the Boston Globe. When you kind of look forward to this summer, just in general, what kind of things are you looking for, I guess, in your life, and what kind of things, kind of situations would be a positive situation that you want to be in when you?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm just trying to make it back to Boston first, you know, safely, and get to see my family, decompress, you know, do what human beings do.
Hold on, safely.
Poop.
What do humans do? Saw that Russian jetliner have a landing problem a week ago, and he's looking at it, going, "Oh, I hope we land safely."
What humans beings do.
Do you think that
what is he
okay?
Doing?
There's a lot you can read into his post game press conference, especially the how complimentary he was of everybody on the Bucks from the top to the bottom, from the owners, everybody could not stop being complimentary of those guys.
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing them going to the Eastern Conference Finals and playing their next opponent.
Was that humility for him, or was that him sticking it to the Celtics?
That's stupid.
Which one was it?
In my opinion, he's not a stupid
guy.
Stupid
wasn't an option.
That's a stupid statement.
Stupid wasn't an option. Yeah. Was he trying? No, I'm serious. What do you think? That was a passive aggressive dig, stick it to the Celtics, okay, and everybody else.
Yeah, I thought
because
the way,
he's more that than stupid.
The way he talked about Budenholzer, and he did it a couple of times during the series, it was almost like a knock on Brad. Didn't he say we have to be smarter? Something like that. We have to be
so
smarter.
So in other words, was a message to Brad?
Yeah, and to be honest with you.
And our guys.
Brad didn't make adjustments. Either that or the guys didn't pay attention and listen to him. What adjustments did they really make?
I did a bad job.
And so my guess is he's probably pissed off that Brad didn't devise something to kind of free him up a little bit. We talked about this yesterday. Why aren't they running more
him.
That the pick and pop?
I got an idea with Horford. Here's another thing. Where was Gordon Hayward after the game? I know that he spoke today, but there's two games in a row where he didn't say a word. So what happens in the locker room? Is he changing and getting dressed and Morris is talking?
Jalen Brown's talking. He's coming back from an injury.
And they just walk by because they're still giving a break because of his injury almost 2 years ago?
Yeah, he's in the trainer's room. He's coming back from an injury.
I've never seen anything like that before. Here's a guy that is supposed to be the face that makes the most money on the team, and nobody's even asking him a question, or at least maybe they're trying to, but he's sneaking out the back door twice? The second time? I don't know, to me, that's unacceptable.
You got to explain what we're talking about here. I have no idea. Ryan Russillo has a tweet out there, but I'm not sure I understand it.
It's a joke.
Okay, thank you. All right. I thought maybe he was on Shut Up at Russillo show or something like that. I'm sitting there going, what? All right, let's get to the phone calls. Here's Jake. Jake's in the car. Hello, Jake.
Hey boys, how we going today?
What's up?
So we're in the weirdest situation that's ever existed as far as me watching the Boston Celtics. because we're married to Kyrie Irving now. We're married to him.
Just engaged.
We don't have any flexibility if he walks. Yeah, just engaged. Thanks, Danny. If he walks, like we have no flexibility.
And you're right.
The East isn't a cakewalk anymore. Giannis is going to reign supreme over that for the next 7 years. He's the most physically imposing player since Shaquille O'Neal.
Unless you get Anthony Davis. Unless
you get Anthony Davis. If Kyrie Irving is the key to bringing AD onto the team, you have to do it. If you told me 2 years ago LeBron would be gone and we had Brown, Hayward, Horford, and Tatum, maybe I would tell you we could win, but not anymore. Not with Kawhi Leonard and Giannis here. It's not a cakewalk anymore.
No, it isn't. And you look at Philadelphia, if you're talking about a big there, so you got to match up with a big and you may not have it. I'll give you the worst-case scenario, worse than what you just laid out. Suppose the Lakers trade LeBron back to the Eastern Conference, and he goes to...
Oh, gosh, don't...
I
don't want to think about it. But honestly, I hope he just withers away to nothing in Los Angeles. I hope he just stays out there and does absolutely nothing. So I don't even want to bring him into the equation because, I mean, the big thing is that Giannis probably overtook him as the best player in the league now, unless you want to count Kevin Durant. But I don't know that I've seen anybody just more imposing, a guy that's definitely going to go get 35 and 14 every night. Yep.
And he's still young. He's going to get much better. And you can see it. He's starting to develop that 3-point shot right now. And if he settles with his feet properly, he usually makes them now. It's usually,
well, you could sign and trade Kyrie to the Lakers and get Lonzo.
Yeah, you could do that.
That would be entertaining.
You get the old man too. It'd be fun, wouldn't he? We could get him on weekly. Here's Kyle in a car. Hi,
what's
Kyle?
Your fallback plan?
I ain't got no fallback plan.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi. Hey, guys.
What's up?
I don't understand why we can't just sign Kevin Durant or whatever his name is. Well, Magda. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
We're putting all the pressure on Kyrie, but everybody's also saying how he's not a one guy. He's a 1B, right? So where were the other guys all series? Where was Jason Tatum all series? I mean, last year we were talking about give this guy everything because he was a rookie and he had one good playoff series. Terry Rozier, he didn't even show up. And
no,
I don't want to hear anything about, well, they weren't getting shots. You don't need to get shots to play defense and rebound. There was one possession last night where there was like 8 offensive rebounds by Milwaukee. That's just grit and heart. We didn't have that all series.
Yeah, I'd say Tatum, a couple games showed up offensively. Defensively, I thought he was a mess. And, that's why you say, where's everybody else? I would look at Jaylen Brown and say that he might have been your best player in this series.
I think
most consistent.
Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris were the only, and maybe Baines, but he's not athletically gifted enough to be out on the floor at all times. But those were the only 3 guys that I saw that weren't afraid to bang bodies and do the little things.
No, I mean, Jaylen Brown,
I've
said it many times. I still think, I think he's got a chance. He's got a higher ceiling than Tatum because of his all-around game.
He does more things.
Defensively, he's good. I think he can shoot. Maybe Tatum's a better pure shooter, but I think he can shoot. And last night when the team quit and everybody quit, what's he doing? He's trying to dunk on Giannis.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's one guy that will take the ball
to the basket.
Yep. And he doesn't mind getting fouled, and he's getting better at the free throw line, which was a weaker part of his game. Would you say he's good defensively? I think he's very good, and I think he can get a lot better.
Yes. His whole game can get a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He's got exactly what you're talking about, that upside. Jerry is in California. Jerry?
Hi, guys.
Great
show, by the way. Two words that come to my mind with respect to the last 3 games that we saw, 2 words, shot selection. And it was almost like negative groupthink that carried over from Kyrie to Tatum and the others. Because basically, once they came across the half court, it was one pass and then take a shot, 1-on-2, 1-on-3, 1-on-4. And if I'm the owner of Kyrie, there's absolutely no way I'm going to offer him a max deal. But I really wanted to talk about was Gordon Hayward, because I think he will never become that player I saw many times in Utah when I was in Utah. He won't become that player. And it's not because he hasn't recovered physically, and it's not because he hasn't recovered mentally with that injury. The social psychological problem of him fitting in with this team is just never going to happen.
Okay, if that's the case, Jerry, what do you do?
So that's a good point. You got $68 million you're going to pay this guy. I would unleash. I would just try to find a deal that you can make to send him somewhere in the West. Because
Why is somebody going to? Why would somebody take him for $33 million and $34 million in that second year? Based on what you saw this year, why would any team? Teams don't just suddenly show up with $33 million under the cap. If you do, you're going to go get yourself a top 10 player in the league that's a free agent.
Let me give you
what
one team.
What team would do that?
One team.
Let me
answer your question, because this year was an outlier. Because what I just said about him never fitting in with this coach, his coach, fitting in with the players that had that incredible season last year, all he wants to do with this team is just fit in. You got to put him in a situation where he is given the opportunity to play 35 minutes, 40 minutes, given the opportunity to have the ball in his hand. This guy was the best guy on their team getting into the paint and making the right decision.
So I'm going to gamble. I'm going to gamble that. That this was the outlier? I'm going to gamble if I'm another team.
I don't think it's a gamble. I don't think Gordon Hayward's a gamble at all. He's in the wrong team.
Well, if that's the case, Jerry, if that's the case, you're going to change your team up here this year. With this team, you might be going older if you keep Kyrie. Then why don't you hold on to him? If you say it's a low risk, you're going to put more veteran players on the court. With more veteran players, he's going to be a better player. Keep him.
Do you think Gordon
Hayward... Give me a team. I want your team.
My team, given what happened last night, might not work, but if Durant was leaving, sign and trade with Gordon Hayward.
I don't think they can do it. I'd have to look that up. But
I'm just saying, like Kyrie. Kyrie walks. You're gonna get absolutely nothing for him. Would Golden State say we're gonna lose Durant?
Kevin Durant.
We'll take Hayward for 2 years, and Banky's gonna get healthy.
It's
over, right? Because I think Durant is in serious trouble. He'll probably opt in and stay. Because he's not going to free agency. I think they're downplaying the injury. I think he tore something in that calf or Achilles or something, right?
I do too. I think they're trying to keep Houston off guard right now. It makes sense.
Well, he's definitely out. They're not even reevaluating him for another week, so he's out of this series.
So there's another series after that. And then there's another series after that. But you tell me, if you're looking at Golden State right now, Golden State against Portland, Golden State against Denver, they could lose either one of them,
sack up and try and do something about it.
They could. And they've won 14 games in a row at home now. That's where the next game is. So you look at
it
game seven.
A lot harder. It basically makes you realize how great they are. When you lose a guy like Kevin Durant and say, you know what, they still got a shot.
Better hit threes.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying they still got a shot.
Yeah. But it changes everything for them. But you're right. Is this going to be a major injury, or is this just – it's not a minor injury. We can't call it a minor injury.
Well, it impacts, really, Kyrie Irving, right? I mean, if the reports are true that he would just opt out and go to the Knicks, and maybe Kyrie goes to the Knicks, and all of a sudden Kevin Durant, he looks at it and says, well, I'm not going to opt out if I just tore my Achilles. I'm going to opt in, rehab, finish the year, last whatever, and then I'll be a free agent after next year. So now Kyrie's sitting there going, oh, wait a minute. I thought we were going together, if that was a scenario for him, right?
Yeah, what do you think the Knicks were thinking last night when they were watching that game?
They weren't happy if they think they're going to get Kevin Durant.
Again, they watch Kyrie in this series. Then they tune in last night. Jim Dolan's there with this massive TV, and he's watching.
Knicks fans have this master plan, this great idea. We're going to get Kevin Durant. We're going to get Kyrie.
On paper.
One dude tore his Achilles, and the other guy looks like a bum.
But you don't think this attitude, this terrible display of an attitude will affect him whatsoever with any other team, right? I mean, you don't think that some other team is going, wow, you know, I really liked him, but man, the way he quit on his team and his attitude and his personality, who wants to deal with that?
I don't think it'll change the Knicks' feeling.
I don't think it'll change anybody.
I don't either. Kawhi Leonard quit his team.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard quit his team. How'd that work?
It just doesn't affect anybody.
Let's go to Steve. Steve's on a car. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing today, Glenn?
See, I'm not sure if this is a phone issue or this is your actual voice.
Go ahead, Steve.
I got a question. I understand if I don't want to see Kyrie leave either, but if he does, okay, now what's the saying that Tatum and Jalen...
Hold on. Steve,
call us right back.
I heard this happened to Dalen Keefe. Did you hear Dalen Keefe? They had a caller call up, and it was almost like he was a Keebler elf. It was like he was sucking down helium.
Steve was
I don't know if that's his. I don't I know if that's his really real Steve. Voice. You think that was his real voice?
I do, but
my bad. I hung up on you.
Could be both.
I thought it was phone issues.
Let's go to my buddy John.
Oh, okay, I'm
Mattapan. Hi, John.
What's up, fellas? Great interview yesterday with Scal.
Thanks, John.
He's good, John. Thank you very much. He's good.
Didn't he say to all of us that Kyrie is not at that level, Big O, that you keep dreaming about? He's not at the level, Big O.
That's not what he was bringing up, John. John,
that's exactly what he said, Big O. Just like you,
John.
Big O.
John. Big John.
Oh my God.
Johnny's going to be is he going to be all NBA player this year?
Who? Kyrie?
Yeah, he'll be in the second
team. No.
Okay. Ah. I'm going to bet. I'm going to guess that he's going to be on the second team. Fourth, right?
Okay.
All right. So that's okay, John.
Honestly, okay, John. John, listen,
be honest
John.
With yourself,
John,
guys.
I know.
John,
hold
why
on.
Can't John have the
why
keeper?
Can't
out
why
voice?
Can't I hang up on John?
You hang up and then you talk about me, but you don't want to talk to me because you can't handle the truth.
You're not a basketball guy.
I think he nailed
That's
it.
That's the problem.
I forgot more than all of you know about basketball.
Oh no, no, no!
I forgot more than you know.
You playing eventually,
gentlemen?
You're not a basketball guy.
But you didn't
get me, Christian.
You're not a basketball guy.
How many times can I talk, please? We listen to you for an hour. Listen.
That's it. Oh, I didn't do it, John. For the record, that was Ryan, our producer. I was going to let you go.
No,
I was
going to
let you dig your own grave.
I just want to see if John can call back and just stop saying Big O all the time.
And here's the thing. I will allow him to keep going.
Big O.
If he could promise me not to say
Big O. That's it.
I just that drives me nuts.
Big O. Big O.
You know, he's a loyal guy. We like John.
It drives me crazy, though.
I can't take it anymore.
When somebody says something and people misunderstand it, Scalabrini was talking yesterday about those superstars that can win championships for you. And he was basically saying they need to be wing players, big players.
Big physical guys.
Correct. That's what he was saying. He wasn't saying that Kyrie wasn't one of the best players in the league. He was saying that those are the type of guys that when the point guards are not necessarily the guys that are at the top of the chart that win championships, they help, but they don't win them because the game becomes more physical. You're dealing with a lot more action within the lane. The game slows down a little bit. He gave all the reasons, but he totally missed it.
John, here's the thing. The thing with Kyrie is it's forget about he's not big and physical. He just wasn't into it. He was careless. He was sloppy. You know, his heart wasn't in it. His head wasn't into it. He just wanted it to be over. Right. So the closer it got to the end of the game, the happier he got.
Yeah, it was disturbing.
Oh, it was pathetic.
It really was. It was of all the games, and we already had a bad taste for what he was doing in the series. So be it. You know, maybe your shot's off. You're trying to pass the ball. You're trying to deal it to other people, and they're missing. Okay, I get that. But that last night was so disappointing. Joe was in Rhode Island. Hey, Joe.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good job.
First time caller.
What's up?
Just got a quick question. So I know you guys are trying to talk about possibly moving Gordon Hayward's contract. Do you think a team would take Hayward's contract if maybe you put a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown with it?
For what? What are we talking about? For who?
That's why I asked you guys.
So you're talking about Davis. So let's look at Davis, because I've heard a lot of people say you deal and for Davis with New Orleans. That makes all the sense in the world, especially if you've got Kyrie here. Why would they want Gordon Hayward right now?
Why would they want him?
Yeah, because they're going to pay him $33 million.
He's a broken man.
They're starting all over again. Why would they want Marcus Smart? Now, I could see we should all be hoping that Memphis lands in the top eight, and that's a protected draft pick, and you move it to next year, right? Because if I'm New Orleans, I want that Memphis draft pick next year because Memphis is blowing it up in this offseason, and they probably are really going to suck next year. So that's got value. That's got value to me. But you got to look at your partner, your trade partner. Your trade partner is giving away the franchise icon to rebuild their entire team. They don't want to win right now. They want to win 5 years from now. They want draft picks. They want young players.
Smoothie King Arena. How boring is that going to be?
Yeah. That's what they're doing. So you got to understand, why would they want Gordon Hayward to pay him $70 million over the next 2 years?
Can we just say that Gordon Hayward is not a trade piece in any situation?
I don't see it.
Nobody is looking at him. Just look at him. He is broken.
Right now, he's your
trash.
I hate to say it,
man,
because it's insensitive. He's your trash right now.
He is.
Your best shot is he comes back next year, and he reverts to what he was a couple years ago.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Whoa, he's a guy.
There you go, Bill.
An example of something I just didn't think happened in the NBA. I didn't think guys just lost their game. And I know he missed a year. He's more like, and you only really see this with the Red Sox, he's more like a Red Sox.
Ooh.
A guy that comes here with big expectations and a huge contract and just falls apart and disappears. We see that all the time with the Red Sox, whether it's Pablo or Crawford or you name it, right? It just falls off the face, and you're just like, what the hell happened?
I'm sick of Hanley.
No other sport in this town, no other sport, do you really see that? Most of the times, guys in the NBA that are good are good. You know, NFL, usually, you know, unfortunately here in New England, they get guys that are, you know, aged that you might know that aren't good, but for the most part, other than baseball, baseball is the one sport where guys can't come and handle the market.
I like
you know
that.
Can't handle the market.
Yep.
You know, it's too much for them. The pressure of playing for the Red Sox is too much for them. That's the only sport you usually see that in. And we're seeing that with Gordon Hayward.
So you're connecting with the Red Sox. I'll give you another possible connection. He's a big Fortnite guy.
Is he?
He is a huge Fortnite
guy. He might as well just go over there and hang out with those guys.
But that was I'm injured. I have nothing else to do with my days.
No, he plays plays it all the time.
No Fortnite.
Plays it all the time.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
To be in a position to even be considered as a franchise free agent is pretty awesome. I want to be comfortable, and then, like, what's better than being in Boston? I'm telling you, like, this year has felt much different because of the environment that's been created for me and by me.
There are times where I think about having number 11 in the Raptors, hopefully one day, and I mean, that's a dream, you know, so why not?
If you guys will have me back, I plan on re-signing here next year.
We're going to be fine. Like, I'm going to make sure of it. We're going to be fine. Brad's going to make sure of it. Our teammates are going to make sure of it.
It would be nice if we had someone that was a 15-year vet, 14-year vet that could kind of help us race along the regular season, understanding that's a long marathon rather than just a full-on sprint.
You know, there comes a point where you're almost at that rock bottom point where you're about to blow up, the whole team's about to blow up. It takes that time of understanding how long it actually takes and how patient you have to be to see this thing through without panicking.
You said that you reached out to some people. Who did you reach out to?
Well, I'm never going
to
tell you that.
I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips.
What's the big picture? What are we doing here? These are a lot of things that I don't think that some of my teammates have faced. Gotten away with your youth and stuff like that. Being on a championship ball club, you can't get away with that.
You know, guys actually want to, you know, see other players be in the positions to score the basketball. So that means delivering on time, you know, actually caring about, actually trying.
Not at rock bottom, but we need to just address some shit in this locker room. So it was just good to get stuff out in the air.
I spent the last 8 years trying to do what everybody else wanted me to do. I don't owe anybody shit. So people start getting attacked personally. And, you know, he said, she said, like, that's so fifth grade and elementary.
What I do in my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's. It's not anybody's business, right? Like, everybody wants to hear me talk like this. Like, everybody wants to hear every athlete talk about like this.
I can't wait for this, all this other BS about regular season and keep getting better and talking over and over and over and again.
Losses you had this year, where do you put this one?
Just behind me, trying to get to the playoffs, so that's where the fun begins.
Winning's hard. Winning's hard. Team environments are hard. You know, everyone always going to say, oh, they need to do this, they need to do that. Nobody knows.
Has your mindset shifted, though, in regards to re-signing with Boston, like the announcement?
Ask me July 1st.
You know, truth be told, it's no time to be disappointed. I mean, you move on. You know, it's a basketball journey. You know, you want to keep playing, but they put a halt to that.
Plenty of people here are speculating about your future, and certainly this summer. Did uncertainty over that weigh on you in any way in this series?
No.
That's the longest running soap opera, and it's not over yet. And it's not over yet. And he's holding, like David Price, at least Price won something. He's holding all the cards.
He's holding all the cards. Though. So do you think it would be easy for him after, did he just get caught up in the moment at the fan fest? Did he get sucked into the whole commercial with his dad looking at the Raptors? Did Danny Ainge take the bait and, you know, proclaim that they're engaged? I mean, really, think of all the people involved and all the things that have happened. They're feeding you. So all that was just bullcrap.
In most cases, people react to the moment. And so he probably meant it at the time. He clearly thought at the time when he mentioned it with Scal in front of all of those fans, I'm coming back to Boston. But as stuff changes, as we've found, he changes his mind.
What about Ainge?
And I wouldn't... Ainge said they're engaged. Ainge can't change his mind right now. What is Danny going to do? Is Danny going to sit there and say, hey, Kyrie, walk? I think there are a lot of fans that would love Ainge to tell him to stick it.
So we're hearing all this stuff about they don't want to.
No.
Who do you think Ainge wants?
No, I think Lou might be right. I think they're probably sitting there going, he's a pain in the ass. But from a business standpoint, you guys tell me what the Boston Celtics can do right now. Now, Danny may be looking at it saying and talking to Wick and talking to the ownership and saying, hey, guys, I'm going to sit and figure out all of the different possibilities. You know, hey, Brooklyn built a pretty good team this year, and we had really cut them dry. Maybe we can put something together.
That's how long that took.
And he's probably going to do some of that stuff and try to figure it out. But you tell me, have you seen any of these basketball geniuses out there like you?
I've seen basketball guys.
Have you seen any of them come out?
A lot of basketball guys.
I've seen Chris Mannix come out and say, there's nothing they can really do. They have to make this hardcore decision. And unfortunately for Danny, he it's not his decision. So if I were Danny, I would say nothing to Kyrie right now. I would let the emotions calm down over the next 60 days.
Here's what kind of, I guess, surprises me is that there's so many ex-athletes, ex-pros, ex-NBA players, and they're all these shows, and they're all just ripping them. I don't know if you guys heard Grant Hill. Grant Hill.
Which is surprising
to me. It was amazing that, I'm sure it was hard for him, but it was so, because you don't want to, diss another player. But at the same time, Kyrie Irving left him no choice.
You know, he didn't look into it tonight, even though he took 21 shots. But just his leadership, his press conferences, he's been indifferent. He's been disengaged. And as Isaiah said before the game, certain franchises, you just can't do that. You know, in Boston, that's one of them. There's an expectation there of success, of working hard, of having integrity in terms of how you approach things. And Kyrie didn't live up to that as their marquee guy.
I don't think he had anything. He's right. No integrity whatsoever as far as how you go about your business. Because even if you hate the situation, you don't just, just throw a ball out there and just cash it in. And you play like Jaylen Brown did throughout the entire game. Like, if you're the leader... I mean, his problem, one of his biggest problems, it's almost like the words are enough. Like, I'm going to use my words instead of his actions.
Well, unfortunately, there came a time where he had to actually pay up.
Piper?
He's been doing this for months. You know, flip the switch. Regular season doesn't mean anything. Seeds doesn't mean anything. We're going the right direction. We'll be fine. I'm a genius. I'm here. This is why I'm here. I mean, so then it came time, and, everybody wanted to sit there and applaud, and, all the basketball guys at night, applaud the series against Indiana. And, you don't get it. They showed something. They flipped the switch in Indiana. You just didn't see it. It's like, okay, whatever, dude. Really? Indiana? Team sucked. So Kyrie sort of just kept pushing it along. Game one, he even felt a little better about himself. The reality was, this is him. This is him. He knows it.
Yeah, and this is
who he is.
Well, this is him on this team. When things get bad, and you talked about this earlier, this is when you find out what guys are like when things are bad.
That's the only time you find out the character of anybody.
Right. So when things were going good, he was fine.
Oh, of course, it's easy.
Right.
It's easy. Right. So, and especially that 5-game winning streak in the playoffs against Indiana, the first game on the road against the Bucks. Everybody. It's like everybody understood what was wrong and they were all okay with it. Fast forward to today, last night, Terry Rozier calling people out, telling secrets. And there'll be more. There'll be guys like Marcus Smart who will protect and defend Kyrie Irving. And then there'll be the other guys, Terry Roziers of the world.
So Terry Rozier, to me, is just dumb, right? Because I don't know if he thought he should have played over Kyrie Irving. He should have realized that this is the situation. Should have accepted his role, played at a high level. Hopefully this team wins and more eyes are on you. You're in the NBA Finals. But instead, he sat there and just sulked. And these were some of the comments afterwards to Vincent Goodwill, Yahoo Sports. He says, I feel like I sacrificed the most.
God.
But I would do it any day for this team.
Because I've been dealing with some bullshit.
A lot of things weren't fair to me. But it's not about me. That's why I don't bitch and complain. Okay. Oh, no. He says, but I don't give a F what nobody say. I sacrifice the most out of anybody. I'm a top point guard in this league. I feel like it's a fresh start whether I'm here or whether I'm gone. You think he's a top point guard in this league?
No, I think he's a bitcher and complainer right now.
He's not a good backup.
How many teams
he's a good backup.
Could he start on?
Really? Based on what?
No, seriously, how many teams could he start on?
He's had a big
hell. Do you even know who he is?
About how many teams that he could start on?
Very few.
Because I'm looking at like point guards in the game. Now you look at Houston, you want to say Chris Paul, Harden, whatever, Curry, Lillard, Kemba Walker.
Keep going.
Kyrie Irving.
G League.
Keep going.
Russell Westbrook?
No.
Drew Holiday?
No.
D'Angelo Russell?
No.
Mike Conley?
No.
Jamal Murray?
Maybe Mike Conley would be traded away from Memphis.
De'Aaron Fox.
When you get to Jeremy Lin.
Fox.
How about the kid Sexton in Cleveland? Player. The kid first round pick.
I know he's played pretty well.
They'd rather look at him, right?
Bledsoe? Darren Collison?
Collison?
Nope.
Reggie Jackson?
DJ Augustine?
Kyle Lowry?
Nope. Two playoff teams right there.
Nope.
Well, I'm just saying, how far do I got to go before I can find this guy in a starting team?
We'll tell you when to stop.
Top point guard in the game?
Go until you get to Jeremy Lin.
Well, he's actually 40.
He's a backup. He's a backup.
Well, and that's what here's the thing. What he is.
So I would say this.
Trey Burke?
He is no different, though, than a lot of other players on that team that were only looking at their own selfish needs, right? And they weren't looking at the team as a whole.
But he was too stupid to realize how he could still look good. He showed what he can do last year. Your role changed. Well, now show you can do that role.
Well, what is looking good in your minds for Terry Rozier?
I mean, if he played 20 minutes, and he could still play at a high level, right?
Can he be George Hill?
He can still play defense. He can still take his shots, smart shots, shoot at a high percentage. You know, be efficient. They have all the stats. You know, a guy could play 18 minutes now, and they could say, per possession, this guy's the most efficient player in the NBA.
Yeah.
They could have had all those things, all those numbers to go along with defensive metrics. And he could have been there, you know, for 18, 20 minutes. This guy was absolutely outstanding coming off the bench. And, by the way, I've already seen what he looks like last year as a starter. I want this guy.
Yeah, see, I think he got a taste of it last year, Lou. And this year he thought he could go out and average 16 points a game.
Scary, Terry Rozier.
And nobody was going to give him that.
So he should have started over Kyrie.
He should have got a lot more minutes than Kyrie should have got.
Over Marcus Smart.
No, I'm not saying that.
Over Jaylen Brown.
He's saying that. No. I don't think he should have got any over any of them. None.
Not smart.
None. OMF, we put a poll out there today based on what Lou has been saying this for a while, that he believes in the end Jaylen Brown is going to be a better player than Jason Tatum. But it's all about who you love.
These aren't basketball people.
They're not basketball
people.
So the question, who will become the better player, Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown? 67% of the people say Tatum. Only 33% say Brown.
Well, it's a very good poll. I disagree with him.
Yeah, I think you have a case. Mainly because Brown's a better athlete. He does more certainty defensively. I thought Tatum at times really faltered defensively
in
this series.
He's better in transition. He's better going to the basket.
Right.
Okay, shooting?
A little lot of control every once in a while.
He can be, yeah, and that's where that's where the upside comes into play. Yep. That's where you clean up a few of the rough edges.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Tatum can shoot.
Yep.
Oh, he didn't shoot very well in this series.
Nope.
How can he defend?
Hey, mid-range jumper.
Who's more aggressive around the basket? When things aren't going, are we going to settle for threes, or is Jaylen going to take it and try to dunk on freaking Giannis? Like, I just, the whole style, I like what Jaylen Brown brings
I would stick with your guy. I think you might have a shot.
Tatum is so young. He's basically just finished his junior year in college.
Well, Jaylen's 1 year older.
I mean, so I guess
21, 22.
I mean, he should be, you know, trying to, you know, he can actually get into a bar. You know, now. I mean, he's so young. And just like, I don't know what Terry Rozier is going to be. I have no clue what the next team that gets Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown will get the real one.
Yeah, but I tell you, that is a real problem that this team had, is that the young players, and we said this in October, this is nothing new now. It just hasn't been solved. The young players got a taste of it last year, and they think they're taking it to the next level where they're the superstars, and they're shown on all the TV shows, and the veterans are sitting there going, we need to get together as a team and win. For that part of it, I'll give Kyrie a little bit of credit. I think he's on the right side of it. But the problem is, you never got the kids to buy in. The kids just wanted their playing time, and they wanted their numbers, and they wanted to be stars. Somebody pointed it out the other day. Joel Embiid is out of the game. Late in the game, Philadelphia and Toronto the other night. And I think it was Barkley or Shaq pointed it out. He's sitting there on the bench at the end. You know what he's looking at? A halftime box score. And Shaq said, coaches should go over there and rip it away from him. Should never. Players should never be sitting there with a box score.
Should be 1-2-3, not 1-2, back to 1.
You shouldn't even know what your numbers are. You know, going into the second half, forget about it. He's sitting there reading it on the bench. But a lot of young players, I think, are concerned about their individual numbers. And that, to me, is a big split this team had. And it's the reason I think that Brad Stevens has to take an awful lot of the criticism. He never brought the two sides together.
No.
Never got them together.
And I tell you, Marcus Morris last night, he was asked about the young kids and how they were forced to take a step back. And he looked at it that way. But at the end, what he said, it just summarized this entire team and how it just never clicked.
You know, to be, we at such a level, kind of felt like they had to take a step back. But, you know, for me, I never really felt like it was taking a step back. I felt like it was preparing to win, you know. And, you know, you could look at it a different way. And, you know, I've been around the league, but, you know, I just feel like winning just wasn't everything.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Winning wasn't everything.
And that's to the kids. I think
The kids. That's the whole roster.
Yeah, but I think some players winning was important to them. I think winning was important at times to Kyrie, but Kyrie didn't like the fact. And by the way, he left the Cleveland Cavaliers so he could have his own team. He could be the leader, all right, not the sidekick to LeBron James. And what did he end up doing? He got that, and then when it became difficult and when they were having trouble winning, what did he do? He kind of just passed it off, okay? Instead of taking responsibility. He should have gotten through before those microphones last night and said, you know what? Blame it on me. I didn't do what I needed to do with this team.
Yeah, what I promised all of you that I would do.
Exactly. I didn't get these young kids to buy in. You know,
the genius took a step back.
Right. And he could have blamed some of it by saying the young kids don't quite understand what we're supposed to do. But that's my responsibility as the leader of this team. If he had done that, he would have got a lot of positive accolades here today. This hour being brought to you by Reed's Ferry Sheds. They got some problems out there with Wrigley Field with the Cub fans. And we'll give you our predictions. Bruins and Hurricanes, game one tonight, coming up next.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule a free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. We start with the Chicago Cubs. They have identified and banned a fan who flashed a white power hand gesture in the broadcast of Tuesday night's game against the Marlins. Now, apparently it was done right behind, and I'm looking at it right now. NBC Sports Chicago reported Doug Glanville, who happens to be black. And so they felt that this hand gesture, which to me, and I'm ignorant when it comes to these gestures, apparently, I'm not good at gang symbols either, that the hand gesture looks like he's doing the okay sign.
Like
right?
The upside down okay.
Upside down okay. So to me, and again, I'm ignorant to this, so I probably should know, but they're saying it was a white power symbol,
And Theo got really upset, said he was disturbed by all of this. And so did Vandekitt.
I can't believe Theo Epstein. So his comments were truly disgusting. It gave me shivers to watch that. Theo, you had no clue what it meant, okay? You were looking to poke the hole, right?
No, to me, it's a major look. I know on the East Coast, East Coast, it's a little different rules.
If I make you look, I punch you in the arm.
Yeah, two for flinch.
Oh, what the f***? But Theo saw that, and it gave shivers.
Shivers down his spine.
You know what they're talking about? So shivers down your spine. You're so full of crap. So how about this? Will Cain tweets out, he spoke to the Cubs. There's very little, if any, other evidence that this guy was indeed flashing a white power symbol. No background, no social media posts, nothing.
Wow.
They also haven't spoken to him and told me that they have no interest in hearing his side. So the Chicago Cubs just banned this guy from Wrigley. And he's sitting there saying, dude, I'm playing the, you know, I put that down. If you poke the hole, then you hit me. If you look, I hit you.
It's done all the time.
He might be a racist.
Maybe.
I have no clue.
Yeah, but
it still may not be what it means, though.
Is there a chance that that's not what he meant?
Have you ever seen that? Is that the actual symbol for, I'm a racist? Is that what you do when you go to, like, you know, certain towns just to make sure, hey, listen, I'm throwing on a secret symbol, a secret handshake. I don't know if we can talk real cool about racism.
So I went to this website. What is it called again? I forget what it's called.
Anti-Defamation League.
I had no clue either because Brady might have a problem.
Why is that?
Did you know that the number 12 is a numeric symbol for Aryan Brotherhood?
Can he change to 13?
It's like, so you just you substitute the letters for the numbers, and 12 equals Aryan Brotherhood. Yeah. Number 13.
Yeah. I'm talking about it.
The number 13 is a numeric symbol for Aryan Circle. So if you wear 13, then... I don't know, KKK, I guess. If you wear 14, 14 is actually...
is there any number that is safe, honestly?
14 is shorthand for the white supremacist slogan known as 14 words, which reads, we must secure the existence of our people. Not knowing, not really representing this, or do you play this game
Guys, I would feel a lot different if they did a background check on this kid.
No background check. They didn't even talk to him.
It
wasn't racist tweets, nothing.
That's a problem. So to me, if you saw stuff in his background, tweets out there, social media posts, and you're sitting there going, "This kid's vile." Okay, we're not going to put
vile.
Up with
it. What's
vile? He was making a symbol.
Major look to his friends who were probably watching on TV.
But there is none of that. So let me ask you this: if you are this young man, whoever he happens to be, we don't even know his age or whatever.
They'll find him.
His name might get out eventually somewhere
down
the road.
Yeah, they'll think he's a racist. Meanwhile, he's playing a stupid game that he has no clue.
So maybe it's smarter for him now to come forward and actually say who he is.
Call them out for being idiots.
Here's the problem I have with the Cubs, okay? I think yesterday or the day before, Addison Russell returned to the lineup after a 40-game suspension of domestic violence, who they've taken a ton of heat for. Other issues, too. Leaked emails, responses to fans. It's ugly. They're taking heat for it. So he comes back. So now everybody's like, oh, the Cubs, they stand for domestic violence. We let this vile human being play in 40 games. Yeah, but we don't stand for racism. You know what I mean? So it's like, is this just their powerful stance of just banning a fan over this? Reaction to get the heat off of themselves for playing Addison Russell?
Go get your pillowcase. Put your holes in it because you are a racist.
All right, Bruins, Hurricanes, they open up game one tonight. How long does the series go, Christian, and who
it
wins?
It goes six, and the Bruins win it in six.
Out of respect for the Hurricanes, or the Whalers, six.
I will say Bruins in seven. Ooh. And I think the series is going to be a lot tougher.
I don't think so.
I think it's going to be a lot tougher.
I think that the Bruins figured it out.
Get ready for him.
What are
you talking about?
Can we make sure we run on Carolina radio tomorrow?
It's Raleigh.
I want to make sure.
Raleigh radio.
Carolina, Raleigh. They're all kind of.
Which Carolina? Carolina's the state.
We need a boss hog. We need a boss hog.
Yeah.
Southern Glenn.
I want to find some redneck who's going to be pissed off that the Hurricanes lost.
Can we spin the wheel? Spin the wheel.
Hey, everybody. Chris Villani will be here with you.
Oh.
By himself?
No.
We'll spin it again?
No.
What? We'll spin it again.
Oh, sure. Okay. Reamer.
Reamer! You were looking. Yeah, it's Alex Reamer. Reamer 6-10.
I'm sure Reamer's going to have a lot to say about this Cubs topic, right?
You think?
Probably.
Hey, it's the White House.
The White House visit.
Oh, you'll be all the White House. The White House. He's got the Cubs.
You'll be condemning all the white guys.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
White
we'll privilege. Do it. We'll do it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We're out of here.
cheaper. We suck.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.